Hey there, this is Marlena Cahill, a.k.a. Music and Numbers, and I'm from New Hampshire. My phone is the Motorola Droid X. Now get ready for Android Central Podcast.
Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It's episode number 35 for Thursday, October 21st, 2010. And I don't know about you, but I haven't stopped playing Angry Birds for almost a week straight now. I'm Phil Nickinson. I'm your host. I'm your editor of Android Central. And with me, as every week almost now, Jerry Hildebrand from the site.
Hi, everybody.
And we've got Mickey Papillon, a.k.a. the Cell Phone Junkie.
I feel like some ice cream. I don't know about you guys.
Why's that?
Because I'm not really feeling gingerbread this week, so
we'll talk about that.
The version after the version after the version we're waiting for.
That still hasn't been announced yet, yes.
Right.
And last but certainly not least, Corey Streeter from the forums.
Hi, everyone.
That's it?
That's it. Good evening.
You need a catchphrase. We got to come up with a catchphrase for Corey.
Could name that little Android guy after me.
We could. Hey, let's talk about that.
Oh, my God, yeah.
So we've had this ongoing forum thread slash contest slash whatever to name our new mascot. And we've been looking at the entries all week and haven't come up with a decision yet. We're still looking at them. So, but we are absolutely working on that. And we're going to come up with something. I don't know. Chat room, what have you guys seen that you like? Any names that you like? Mickey, what about you? We haven't asked you, I don't think.
I don't know. I'm pretty unoriginal. I'm going with alliteration and saying Andy.
See, I want to stay away
Andy
from
Andy the Android.
I don't know. Yeah, Andy, Carl. Carl's good. I like Carl.
Well, that's Carl, but it's the Android guy. Andy the Android guy.
Yeah, but Carl's just cool.
Yeah, Carl's a cool name.
Carl the Android guy? May as well just call him, like, Bill.
Oh, there's a new one. Yeah, Phillison.
How about Norm?
We're not naming it after me, I don't think. So anyway, let's do a little podcast, huh? We got a little bit of news to talk about, maybe. No really major phone releases in the past week, which is kind of relaxing, actually. Probably the biggest news of the week, Verizon announced that the Galaxy Tab is finally coming November 11th. It's the first of the four U.S. carriers to announce when it's coming and for how much. And it's going to be $600. No contract. No subsidies. No contracts. What do you guys think? $600?
Good.
Yeah?
Good. Teach people to not depend on those subsidies. Yeah, I'm a bad guy. Go ahead.
I think the price is $100 too high, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too.
Why?
Because that'd be like coming out with like your typical flagship smartphone today for $299. Mm-hmm. And then have another model for $399. You're $100 too high. The bar has been set.
And that bar, of course, is the iPad, right?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you, I think. I don't know how they can price it any lower. I mean, right, you're paying for hardware, and they got to make some money off of it. But, yeah.
It's $30 more than the Fascinate.
Right.
You know, is it worth $30 more than the Fascinate? Because I haven't heard anybody say that the Fascinate is overpriced.
Yeah, not many people are buying it off contract, right?
Yeah, and I understand that's the kicker there. People aren't used to that, but you all should get used to it. It's much better for you.
I'm going back and forth with this because when I saw this at CTIA a couple of weeks ago, and I was totally blown away. I mean, the hardware to me felt so much more high end than the iPad, and the experience with it was fantastic. I love the size. I don't care what Steve Jobs says. I definitely think there's a 7-inch market there. And I think that for the specs and what you're getting, I understand why they have it priced there. But I don't know. I think the general consumer is going to go out and they're going to say, even if they're interested in going to Android for whatever reason, they're going to see this sitting next to an iPad, or maybe they won't see them sitting next to each other. Well, maybe they will because it's going to be Verizon, right? And right. So you can go, and for $100 less, you get the iPad, which is a bigger screen. And, you know, they're not going to look at much, you know, the specs any differently. They're going to see these two devices next to each other, and, I don't know, one's smaller and costs more. I'm thinking, you know, is it worth it? Jerry, yeah, it's probably worth the money. The actual cost of going to it is worth it. But is is it going to be worth it to the consumer? They get the value out of it for $600, and I don't know that they're gonna sell that many at that price point. But we'll see. We'll see if there's any lines, right? I mean, that'll be the big thing to see what the demand is like for right out the gate.
Yeah, I didn't mean to say that they're gonna sell a lot of them at that price. I don't think they are. I'm gonna have to agree that the general public is gonna see $600, and they're just gonna say, you know, resounding, nah, that's too high. They're going to step over and look at the iPad with the MiFi that you probably get the MiFi on contract, walk out the door, cheaper, bigger, and pretty much the same function, and that's going to hurt the tab sales.
Someone's making a comment that it costs less than the iPad 3G. Okay, so where's the Wi-Fi only version?
Well, you don't have to get the data plan, right?
You don't have to get the data plan, but you got to spend the extra $100 even if you're not going to use it. I understand it's $30 less than the iPad. That I get that. But unless there's an option that's Wi-Fi only, and where are they going to sell it? You know, there's variables out there outside of it. My point is that for $499, that's how people look at the iPad, is $499. Whether they get any version of it, they'll move up to whatever they want to get, but you can get one for under $500.
Yeah, I think you're right, Mickey.
It's a mental barrier. That's what you have to realize. That's why a lot of laptops are priced at $999. That's why a lot of cars are $19,999.
Yep.
It's under that $500 mark. That is key. When you go over that, you start thinking about, well, should I really just get a computer? Do I really need just this tablet? You know, that's the consumer is going to have a problem with that. We're not going to have a problem with it. We'll spend whatever. It could have been $999, you know, whatever.
Easy there, partner.
Do you think the other carriers are going to price lower than that? Or do you think that's going to be the
price? If they get you hooked into a more expensive contract, of
course.
Yeah. You can get laptops now for free on some of the carriers.
Yep.
Sign a contract. They're getting your money every month. It's kind of like you're leasing a laptop, you know?
Show of hands between the four of us. Who's going to get one? At never mind Verizon, but at this price, would you buy one?
No.
It's going to take a lot to convince me to, you know, switch to tablet computing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a netbook guy. I can see Apple they've got a great product with the iPad, and a lot of it is because it's Apple. People trust their products. People will buy Apple products knowing that what they're going to get ahead of time. People don't know what they're going to get ahead of time with a Galaxy Tab, and my $189 netbook with a $60 digitizer on the screen will do more than either one of those at less than half the cost. So,
but if you look at this product as a $600 product from Verizon only, it's going to appeal to a very small market. You look at the iPad, and this is kind of, I don't want to say more universal, but I feel like it's open more, and people can go and get this. You know, you can get it at Walmart and
mm-hmm.
Sam's Club and all these different places now. It's not just a Verizon. So you have to seek it out, number one. And number two, really, is this compelling enough of a device to drop $600 on? I totally agree with you, though, that I'm not buying into the tablet market just yet. I agree that it's a very cool technology. I cannot disagree that the iPad just feels totally futuristic. But talk to people who have the iPad, and unless they're, you know, just people that don't use other types of computing platforms, if they are a true geek, they're probably, if they have an iPad, my guess is that their usage has fallen off a cliff since they first bought it. You know, probably just reading ebooks on it now, movies on a plane. Talk to Dieter, talk to Renee. I mean, I don't know how, I mean, Renee talks about them all the time, but I wonder how much he actually uses one right now.
Corey, what do you think?
I'm definitely going to get one, but I don't think I agree with Mickey. I don't think the average consumer is going to jump on it. You know, it's smaller. If you put the iPad and the Galaxy S, or if you put the Galaxy tablet side by side, they're going to obviously pick the iPad. I just don't think there's really much of a difference between.
I think that's price driven. If you get your hands on this thing, Phil, you've seen it, right?
I haven't gotten to use it yet.
You haven't?
I haven't.
Oh man, guys, this is like iPad is like the Dynatac, as the Galaxy Tab is like the MicroTac. I mean, it is like a huge leap forward in how much more sophisticated and more solid it feels. I mean,
really?
Oh man,
I'm lost on that analogy. Sorry.
Okay. How about this? Okay. Ready? The iPad equals the Razer.
Yes.
As the Galaxy S equals pick some smartphone of like, you know, 3 years ago. That was totally like, whoa. Okay. It is. I mean, the iPad is heavy. It's kind of awkward to use. It's just kind of weird, like in general as a size. I mean, I know they like it because you can do a lot on it, but I don't know that 7-inch size. It's like 0.7 pounds or 0.8 pounds or something like that. I think it takes a giant leap forward in technology, but that doesn't mean anything to the consumer. And if they want to sell it, I think it's too expensive.
Do you think this time next year, and I know, you know, I fly a lot now, Mickey, you still get out of town some, Corey, you fly all the time. I mean, especially as you're like walking through first class, although I'm sure Corey and Mickey sit in first class, I have to go away to the back of the plane. You know, but you see a lot of iPads, right? You see a lot of iPads, you see Kindles all over the place. Are we going to see a Galaxy Tab? Are we going to see Arcos Tab, HTC supposedly? Do you think we're finally going to see them catch on?
Okay. So here's what I think we're going to see. You're still going to see a lot of iPads out there. I don't discount that. I'm not saying that it's a bad thing and that people aren't going to use it, because they are. But I think the Galaxy Tab is going to be kind of a sleeper device. I think it's going to be kind of like the Palm Pre. You know, use the webOS. Holy cow, who's not blown away by the webOS out there? I think it's one of the top, you know, operating systems that's been ever created. But the hardware is kind of you know, and I think it's going to be a little... it's going to be a little bit like that. You never see Pre's out in the wild or Pixies out in the wild.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, now, question, you mentioned you guys still do a lot of flying around. I haven't been on a plane in years. Do you still see a lot of laptops on planes?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, you still see the power user that has to get work done while he's flying. Those people, a tablet is going to have to do more.
Yeah.
When I look at a tablet, I think of, yeah, this is a cool, fun device, but I still eventually have to either hook it to a computer or move to a computer to actually get work done.
Well, for the business person, I mean, this is still a Windows world, right? So, yeah, I see laptops everywhere I go. Units.
And it's mostly XP still. That's what's crazy.
Ooh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I've been blame IT departments for that.
I do. I absolutely do.
I'll be honest, I have an iPad myself. It's been sitting on my desk collecting dust for about a month and a half now.
Exactly. But hey, let me ask you this. When you got it, was it not the coolest toy you ever had, and you played with it for hours every single day and had every app that you possibly wanted on it, right?
Not quite that far. It was pretty cool, but I realized pretty quickly, I mean, I have this really cool smartphone. I have a MacBook Pro. I have a desktop computer. It's like, you know, I'm either going to pick my smartphone or I'm going to get on my laptop. I don't need that in between. It's really was a waste of money.
You know when you need it? You need it for planes to watch movies. Mm-hmm. That's what you need it for.
I can do that on my phone. I mean, my phone looks, the Galaxy S looks great playing movies. I don't need anything bigger than that. I don't want anything bigger than that.
Okay, so you need it as a picture frame. You can set it there on your calendar. Exactly. And look at pictures.
If you hot glue magnets to the back of it and stick it to your refrigerator and keep the calendar open, that's pretty cool.
We need DLNA for the in-flight entertainment, which, by the way,
yes.
I can't remember if we talked about it last week, but I realized, at least on the Delta plane I was on last week, it was Linux-based. How about that?
Woo-hoo. That's why those planes don't crash very often.
Oh, again, jinxing. Stop. Man.
Yeah, don't do that.
All right, well, let's move off the tab, I think. I tell you what, as long as we're just totally ranting this week, let's talk a little bit more about, let's start with openness, right? We had some interesting stuff come out. Steve Jobs, in the quarterly earnings call, basically spent the better part of, what was it? It must have been a good 60, 70 minutes, right? Just railing, not that long, but just railing against, you know, Google and openness. And did he bash Windows? I'm sure he did at some point, right? Maybe Nokia. I think he made fun of my dog. Jobs is losing it. I don't know.
I don't think that was Steve. I think he's been replaced.
You know, look, it's not uncommon for one company to talk about another in an earnings call, but it's just... it's really getting weird.
I think the guy is probably hammered on a daily basis by questions about Android and other operating systems, and he's probably just, you know, responding to all that.
Look at the growth. Look where the growth is. It's, I mean, iOS is on a nice, you know, a nice increasing line, but it's not like Android, which is like, you know, shooting up like it's, you know, the price of gas. You know, it's a totally different, it's a totally different thing. And I agree with that 100%. I think he's getting a lot of pressure. And so he's trying to downplay the fact that, and truly he made this company what it is. And so he has certain things that he wants to do with it, but I don't think that it's, I think he's a little bit off on a lot of them, and it's getting worse as time goes on.
I was going to say, Phil and Renee and myself, we were exchanging a little bit of emails about it. I don't know, you know, what happened to the Steve Jobs that realized number two is where Apple is going to be, because they make their own hardware and you can't just buy it anywhere, like we were talking about the iPad. But number two has this huge mountain of money with Steve at the top of it. And Steve gets to innovate however he likes. He used to be satisfied with that. And now for some reason, I guess in the smartphone arena, he's just not satisfied with knowing that that's what's going to happen. And it's making him go insane.
It's almost like, I mean, look, Apple products are damn good. I don't think there's a person on earth who would say otherwise. And if you do, you know, step back and think about it, right? The products themselves are just great. But it's almost like that's just not enough. I think you're right. Almost like he's just being pestered about it. The next day, Andy Rubin joined Twitter, or, you know, or at least tweeted for the very first time. And Jerry explained what he tweeted. It looked like code. It's not really code.
Well, yeah, it's just the commands you would enter if your computer was on the internet to connect to Google, download the source code, and build Android and have it ready to install on a open device.
And he prefaced that with, here's open, right?
Yep.
After that, Joe Hewitt, who developed the Facebook app and for the iPhone, which is no, you know, small feat, right? It's a great app. But before that, he worked with Mozilla and Firefox, right, Jerry?
Right.
And that is, I mean, we've talked about it before. To me, when I think of open source, I mean, Mozilla is the way it's done, right? So Joe Hewitt started kind of railing against things on Twitter. He's like, really? You know, Android is open, even though nobody can, you know, add to it until Google does its thing and releases the code. And that's, you know, we've been saying that forever, right? That's the way it is. You know, it's open in some respects and not open in others. And Joe, to his credit, actually wrote a much longer blog piece, later in the week. You know, basically saying, look, you know, I can't explain it all on Twitter. You know, sat down, you know, thought about it, and here's what I really meant, and really clarified things well.
Yeah, and you, after you read, you know, his blog piece, you know, you can't argue with him. Factually, if you get to down to the bare minimum, he's wrong. Android follows the open source license they use to the letter. They are completely open and compliant. Not near as fun for people as Mozilla is, where I can go check out nightly code and build it myself and run it tomorrow.
You can listen in on their conference calls. It's not, I mean, look, when I say I've been following the development of Fennec, I used to listen in on their weekly meetings. You could call in.
But I can see why Google doesn't go that way. If you've ever had to write any type of open source software for the enterprise, you find people who are good at one certain thing.
No, I mean, it's nothing we haven't been saying for a while, and it's not going to stop. But it's not like the world suddenly woke up this week and realized that, oh my God, Android's not quite as open as we thought. I mean, it's the way it is. And it's that way for a reason, right? You can't develop something like this completely, completely open the way Mozilla does.
All right, well, that's exactly what I was saying that got cut off. So there you go. Exactly.
I just said it shorter.
Yeah.
Jerry said it better.
That's debatable.
So that's that. Something else I want us to get into for a few minutes, especially Jerry and Corey, are task killers. I promised we'd talk about that.
Oh,
we kind of went on a bit of a crusade this week for a number of reasons against task killers. You think Steve Jobs is tired of hearing about Android? We're tired of hearing about task killers.
Yeah.
Corey, you start.
Well, it all started a few days ago. Somebody posted in the forums that Verizon had installed a task killer on their device and also told them that 4G was embedded into the Fascinate. That's news I hadn't heard before. So,
nice.
So it just made me wonder. I kept hearing reports of this, and what frustrates me, it's not like I'm on some crusade against task killers. If they worked and they were good for the phone, I would be fine with that. But the problem is people come in to the forums with these issues, and 9 times out of 10, it's a task killer that's causing the problem. And it makes Android look bad. You know, the consumer goes in, they buy a phone. Most consumers aren't going to spend a lot of time trying to figure out what's wrong, but they get home and the phone isn't working right. It's slow and laggy and the battery's bad, and they think it's Android, and it's not. It's usually because of these task killers, because they're killing tasks and Android restarts them. And so the task killer goes into this cycle of restarting them and killing them and restarting and killing. So anyway, I was curious how many, on a percentage standpoint, how many people were going into these stores, whether it's Verizon or Sprint or AT&T or T-Mobile, how many people were going in and having store reps install this application. Turns out 56% of the store reps are either installing these applications or telling people that they need them. And I don't believe that store reps should be giving out this information. So in my opinion, if the task killer is supposed to be on the phone, then the manufacturer should put it on there. It's not something that I would want a store employee putting onto my phone, because who knows what other applications they could put on there to steal my personal information or whatever. They should not be touching my phone before I leave the store. Bad, bad, bad.
Jerry?
Well, first off, I want to say, and it does seem that Verizon is the biggest offender. I have talked to several people that I do trust very well that tell me this is not Verizon corporate policy. The training for Android devices has nothing about a task killer involved, so it must just be word of mouth between the reps. So I don't want to bash Verizon at the corporate level. A rep that installs a task killer on somebody else's phone, especially without asking, I mean, they need their fingers broken. That's ridiculous. You know, it's it's my phone. Don't you install anything on it. You know, not only what Corey said, you know, there's security issues, but, you know, I paid for that. You don't, if I buy a TV, you don't pull it out and turn on the Flintstones and start watching it. You leave it in the damn box until I get it home and do what I want with it. And, boy, this is a rant week. I'm going to calm down here. The biggest problem is 90% of the people buying these phones don't come to Android Central. They don't come to any other websites. They don't know anything except what the carrier reps tell them. The carrier reps tell them, you need this or your phone won't run bad or your battery will die. So they've got it there, and the rep has it set up where, you know, every X number of minutes it kills everything off, and all of a sudden they've got a phone that won't sync their mail anymore, or they can't get to their calendar, or the browser just force closes, or whenever they hit the home button, it force closes. They don't know what to do. They go back to the carrier rep. The carrier rep says, oh, well, let's factory reset and start over. And that's not fair to the people buying it.
Ignoring the fact that this is Android and open, we can do whatever the hell we want. If we could ban task killers from the market, should we?
No. No, because it's open. If somebody wants
ignore that fact. Okay. I'm just talking about what the effect on your phone and the effect on daily use.
I would love to get to see it completely removed from the market. The funny thing
is the effect on Corey's inbox.
Well, if you go into the market and you look up any of these applications, they're actually very highly rated. So, you know, I think there's a large perception, because people come from BlackBerries and Windows Mobile and other operating systems where you did have to do task management. So there's this perception that because you're killing tasks, I mean, even if you're not doing the phone any good, or it feels good to kill tasks, right? It feels good to go in there and kill those things. You don't want to see them. But if you really, the average person isn't going to do this, but if you go to, you know, some of the developer sites for Google and you really read about how the inner workings of the Android operating system works, you'll find out that they're really not necessary, and Android does a really good job of managing that for you, and the other operating systems just don't. And so that's the unfortunate thing, is we're kind of trained to do this, but the reality is you don't need to.
I have, 6 phones here now. I had to send a couple back. and I have not had a task killer on any of them. I know I've tried them. Somebody asked, you know, hey, I saw them in your app brain list. Yeah, I tried them, right? I mean, that's my job. I need to try this stuff and see what it all does. But on the phones that I use on a daily basis, which is pretty much all of them at this point, I do not use task killers. If an app, you know, crashes or stops somehow, I just go into the settings and kill it. And that was something, I'm actually tech adding a couple books, and I got to a chapter on utilities, and like the second item in the list is install a task killer, and here's how you kill tasks with it. And it's like, why don't you just go into the settings? You can do that? And I think I would like to see Android make that easier to do. Not necessarily, you know, the, you know, wait or force close thing. You know, something follow, a little more transparent.
Yeah, follow the lead that Samsung has. What is it? The Epic update has like a, what they call it, a task manager that's built in that's basically just a shortcut to that. That's beautiful.
So yeah, I will say this. The Galaxy S series has a task manager on it that only kills applications you've opened. So if you open iSyncR or some other weather application, it'll display those applications only. It will not display critical applications for the operating system or for other applications that rely on processes and things like that. It won't kill those things. And the problem is when you load auto task killer or some of these other apps, they go in there and they kill everything. And so you have all these issues with email syncing and, you know, and just things don't work properly. So the one that they built into the Galaxy S, it works pretty good because it only displays those apps that you've opened. And I'm about 5 seconds away from writing my own app that allows people to go in and kill, and it gives them the feeling that they've killed something, but it really doesn't do anything at all, right? So, because it's fun to kill tasks. I love it. You know, it's a great game to play, but it doesn't, it's not good for Android.
Well,
and let's back up. Task killers in and of themselves are not necessarily bad. It's when you start automatically killing processes and don't understand what they do.
Yes, absolutely.
A real problem.
Yep.
No, task killers are bad. This really got blown out of proportion when everybody with a Prez contract was up. WebOS is written differently than Android. WebOS, you flick a card away, you manually control the tasks. Android, you do not. You let the software, which is smarter and will do a better job than you ever will, close things as needed. When you're done with it, hit the damn home button. Go back home. You can read at the Android development blog. They even recommend that developers never put an end button in their application because the developers aren't as smart as the software that's running on your little computer.
Jerry, I think you just answered Phil's question. So Google has come out and said, don't do that. Or Android has come out and said, don't do this.
Right.
Yet they allow these applications in the market that do that. And then it causes all sorts of problems. And now you have Verizon employees and Sprint employees installing these at the store before they ever leave. I mean, it really upsets me. It ruins my day. I get very upset about this.
Icebone in the chat room says, use a slingshot to fling Android guys at tasks. Angry tasks.
There you go.
That's awesome. All right. I want to move away from task killers. That was really good, guys. I appreciate that. We need to talk a little bit of hardware news and a little bit of software news, and we got a bunch of good voicemails and emails to get to. We got slipped a little leak out of Verizon, actually, talking about the Q4 global lineup. These are phones that will work both on Verizon's network here in the United States and as well on GSM networks overseas. Half of these we're expecting, right? The HTC Merge, the Droid Pro, and the Droid 2 Global. The LG Envy Pro was a new name to me, I believe. I think. Although Envy just leaves a bad taste in my mouth still.
I wasn't going to say it.
Yeah. Hey, and look, I'm a big proponent of LG. I know they can make really good stuff. I just still need to see it here. So that's good. The big kind of news out of that was that the Merge was on that list for Q4, right? Because we had no idea when that may be coming. Still don't officially know, right? It hasn't been announced. The Continuum still hasn't been announced, although there are rumors out there for October 28th and November 11th is supposed to be a really big day, and that's, you know, it's when the Galaxy Tab is coming as well, so we could just see a deluge of devices soon. Put up our video of the Samsung Continuum, speaking of that, and it is quite possibly the worst video I have ever made in my short tenure here, and it's quite unfortunate, huh? Almost couldn't see the screen at all. Yes, Everybody in the comments who guessed why my thumb was at the top of it, it's because there are serial numbers on these pre-release devices, guys. And yeah, I think it covered up the light sensor. So that was rookie. That was bad.
Like I've said, it's still the best Continuum hands-on video on the net.
I know, next to everybody else's.
That's right.
Ours is the only one. had a really cool post out of the forums today. The Epic 4G has been modded to work on the Palm Touchstone.
Isn't that so cool?
I love the Touchstone. I love my little desktop dock for the Nexus 1. I love not having to worry about plugging stuff in. Oh, everybody needs to do this. Period.
I want that.
I just, does That's it... bad. Does it still allow you to use the compass and the orientation sensor? Because the Evo had issues when they did that. If it does, God, it's worth buying an Epic just so I can use it.
I love the Epic. I had to send mine back this week. It pained me.
I've been thinking about getting one after my ordeal with the other carrier.
My mother now has a cooler phone than me, or one that I don't have.
Does she love it?
Oh, yeah, she loves her phone. I have to show her how to use it still. I'm like, Mom, put stuff on the home screen. But, you know, whatever.
Oh, that's funny. Does she use the keyboard?
iPhone. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, not like constantly. She said she ends up using the on-screen keyboard a lot. But I like having the option. Cool, Mom. HTC B and Desire dummy units. Droid Life got a picture of that. They are now in Altel locations. How many? I don't know. I mean, it's the Desire, and it's basically the Wildfire, right? So nothing really to write home about. I don't know. We were all kind of treating the B like it was some mythical, magical device, and it's cool, but, you know.
It turned out to be exactly what we guessed it was the first time it came up. It's, you know, little area-style phone for a smaller carrier.
Yeah, yeah.
But the cool thing is Altel, back from the grave. We all counted all down for the count.
I mean, sort of. Yeah, we talked about it last week. They're just little pockets that are going to, little cells that are going to continue to live on until they're killed off the face of the earth by somebody who kills off regional carriers. How you doing, Mickey?
I'm fine.
Just checking on you. Checking on you over there. The HTC, how do you guys want to pronounce this? Gratia? Gratia? G-R-A-T-I-A? Was announced, sort of. It was actually a very low-key announcement. Very, very regional in Europe. It's another version of the Aria. In fact, it's so regional, when I called my HTC guy, I was like, dude, what's up? He's like, I don't know. I woke up and hadn't heard about it either. So,
jeez.
It's not that big a deal. I mean, it's a big deal for those who are getting it, but it's not like some huge, giant release. The Motorola Defy will be on T-Mobile coming November 3rd. They announced on Twitter. That is good.
Yep.
Let's talk Google TV for a second, actually. On sale now. You can get it. You can get it at Best Buy. I went to Best Buy on Wednesday and saw their whole little Google TV section. So they had all the Sony stuff. They had the TVs and the Blu-ray player and Logitech Review. I was not talking with Calix from Droid Life, but he mentioned on Twitter that he was posting his first tweet from Google TV, and he said he got the Sony Blu-ray player. I'm almost kind of sort of having buyer's remorse. My review will be here on Friday, so I don't have it just yet. It shipped today. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I need to get hands-on with the review before I make a decision, but I love what Sony's done with Google TV. I got to play with the 24-inch, you know, built into the TV. And I am absolutely in love. It's better than I thought it would be. And I really can't wait till they get the market worked up. So, you know, come next January, I can download apps.
What do you think about the keyboards, Jerry? Did you get to play with both of them?
No, I have not had to have any hands-on at all with anything from Logitech. My Best Buy didn't have any when everybody else has had one. The Sony remote, I like it. It's built for geeks.
Awful.
No, yeah. But it's built for geeks. My mom would hate it. My wife would probably hate it. My kids would know how to work it, and they'd say, that's stupid. This could be better if it was a keyboard. But I like the little, you know, it reminds me of one of those little label makers with the little tiny chiclet keys. So, you know, it works good for me.
I don't know.
I'll say up front, I don't watch a lot of television, but I have a feeling that if I got this, it would sit right next to my iPad. I just I'm either on my phone or I'm on my computer. All this in between stuff. I think this is pretty risky experiments that some of these companies are taking.
Well, risky for Google is not necessarily risky.
Yeah, though, that's true. Yeah, good point.
Mickey, you're a big proponent of Apple TV, right?
I am a proponent of Apple TV, but I also have a hacked Apple TV so that I can use the Xbox Media Center on it. So I can't say that I use it in the closed, you know, environment. You know what? I can honestly say something that I bet most people out there that use Apple products cannot say. I have never bought a movie, TV show, or song from iTunes. Ever. I know. It's weird.
Hacker.
You buy it from Amazon?
No, I don't buy. I don't buy new stuff. All my stuff is. I'm kind of a more of a classic type of guy. So, classical music, not classical music.
Classic, classy.
Like classic rock and, you know, older stuff. So, like, I kind of stopped buying music as soon as Napster died, and then like everything got all complicated. And yes, I know Napster was wrong, but then I'm like, whatever. And actually, I do all my music over Slacker anyway. So I not like I don't listen to new stuff, but I don't have a lot of old stuff. Mm-hmm. Anyway, here's the deal, though. I love Xbox Media Center because I have a ton of content, and it's all from sharing with, you know, friends, and I do a lot of hard drive swapping and stuff like that. And yeah, okay, whatever. I don't want to hear it. So I've got all this.
We didn't say anything. Pirate.
I know. Watch the chat room here. And so I'm like, okay, you know, so I got to be able to use the Apple TV for more than just, you know, the silly stuff that Apple wants you to use it for. And so it's got the, I don't remember what it's called, Boxy and the Xbox Media Center on it. And it streams all of my stuff from all my network share drives, and it's great. So yeah, I'm a proponent for that, but if I were to buy another Apple TV, I'd buy another older generation version because I can actually hack it and do stuff with it versus the new version, which, whatever. I mean, it streams Netflix, but you know what? So does my computer that I have hooked up to my TV as well. I don't need an Apple TV to stream Netflix. So does my Wii.
So does my Xbox.
For that matter.
So why do you have buyer's remorse, Phil?
For an extra $100, I get a Blu-ray player.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Yeah. But a crappier keyboard, I think. I'd rather have the full keyboard.
Do you need the What do you need the keyboard for?
For typing and doing stuff.
Yeah.
That you use, I don't know. I don't know. We'll need to talk more about it next week, I think. Because otherwise I would just use my phone. I want the experience of having a full computer experience out there, I think, is what I want.
Yeah.
And we'll see. We'll talk more about it next week. But hopefully I won't be the only one getting one. So the rest of you guys go get one.
Oh, I'm getting one.
Now. Okay.
Make sure you get an IR blaster so you can tease Phil.
Damn it. Yeah. Well, no. And I'm curious to see like how that experience is going to be without it. If it totally sucks, then I'll have to buy one. And you know, there's another $100 or so, whatever.
Yeah, it's not going to be able to control your cable box without it.
Right. And my wife's going to say, this sucks. And I will make a trip to Best Buy or something.
And, yeah, just don't tell her it was you. Just say, yeah, they designed this terrible. I'll bet I can fix it.
Let's talk some software. I'm pretty excited about Winamp. It's on beta today. It's in the market. You can go get it. It's free. I'm not quite sure why I'm so excited about it.
Because 1998 called. That's awesome.
I know. Dude, I totally remember sitting in my dorm room
totally.
At the University of Florida and like
downloading from Napster and listening on Winamp. It was awesome.
No, this was before Napster. I remember seeing there was like a live Metallica bootleg that was released and it was like 6 megabytes and I was on some dial-up room. It was horrible. And MP3, what the hell is this? I got to download another app to play this? This is crap. This will never take off. Nobody's ever going to use it. Woo, I was wrong. Anyway, you know, Winamp was that amp back in the day. And I saw a lot of comments today saying that, like, holy crap, I haven't used Winamp in years. But syncing music from Winamp on my laptop to my phone was just easy as pie.
That is big.
And I don't know why. Maybe I just don't like Double Twist because it looks like iTunes, and I just hate iTunes with a passion. Is that why I never got into iTunes?
Probably. Well, it's because you use Windows. That's why.
Yeah.
That's a huge feature that it can do that. That's amazing.
Yeah. And, you know, it's not the quickest thing in the world, but it works. And I'm more likely to actually put stuff in my phone now.
Yeah.
Well, did anyone know?
I'm still less likely to use it, but.
Did anyone know that this was being developed? I was really blindsided by this. It's pretty pretty cool that they were out doing that.
It really works well. I know I had problems with album art, and people have been giving me suggestions all day, and thank you.
Yeah,
that should really work better than it did.
Well, I didn't have any problems when I was playing with it.
Okay, so maybe it was just me. I'll have to go back and look at it. No, I'm excited about that. I think that could kind of be a big thing. Let's talk Angry Birds.
Angry Birds.
Nobody had it ready.
You know how
I had to shut the sound off.
I honestly couldn't figure it out.
All right, so Angry Birds, they've sold. Or sold. They've.
All right, I'm a little late to the game, but whatever.
So it was downloaded at least 2 million times now, right? They said 1 million times the first day. They said 2 million after the second day. We're probably up to like 15 million now or whatever. It's pretty damn big.
Yeah, I'm mad at Rovio.
Why is that?
Because Apple gets the Halloween edition and we don't.
But that's not Rovio. Rovio didn't do that.
Oh, that's right. Go ahead. So what a segue. Well, I just feed it to you, Phil.
No, that brings up an interesting thing. So EA bought the publisher, Chilingo, I believe it's pronounced, the publisher of Angry Birds, but not actually Rovio. For $20 million. So Rovio was like, the Halloween thing's not us. You know, whatever. You know, they wash their hands. And they're a little indignant about the whole thing, it seems. I don't know. It's hard to tell how angry Angry Birds gets. And I know I've seen a lot of headlines like that and how indignant they might be just from what you read online. But it's been a pretty interesting experiment. So as we all know, you know, it was released on GetJar first. Who very proudly says they're the number two app store out there or whatever.
Wah,
and they went down immediately. Oops. You got to be a little more prepared than that. And I know it just drives demand for the app, but that's a little ridiculous.
Yeah,
they put it in the app.
I was saying, all they had to do is visit our forums and see the people salivating for Angry Birds, and they'd have known that the minute it was available, it was just going to get hammered.
So then they put it in the market as quickly as they could, and that was good. They've said peak traffic was some 8 to 10 times higher on that day. Look, they knew. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
They knew. You don't think?
Must
have known.
They had to have known.
Yeah.
Oh, they knew. Publicity.
So what's out there? I'm almost up to the same levels my wife is on her iPhone.
Which is what?
I don't know. I'm up to like 3.8, I think.
I got her beat.
I don't sit around. Yeah, I don't sit around playing it all day.
I do.
Only the first half of it.
My wife, so far, she waits for the new levels to come out.
Oh, my God.
She's been playing it since, I think she got it in February. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's constant. And she's really good at it.
Hey, is her phone jailbroken?
No.
Oh.
Well, if you go to Rovio's site, they've got cheats on YouTube. It walks you through how to get 3 stars on every single level. So
I had to use a couple of those just to get by. And actually, did you see the hack that came out this week so you can unlock all the levels? We didn't post anything on it for whatever reason, but it's out there.
No, I didn't hear anything about that.
Yeah, if you like back out of the app in a weird way and then hop back in it, everything ends up unlocked.
Yeah, somebody figure out a way to cheat so I can get all the golden eggs. That's the only thing I don't have.
Docs2Go 3 is actually out. We just posted on Wednesday that, hey, they're working on it and maybe next week. And then, lo and behold, it's here. Anybody excited about that? I'm kind of over Docs2Go a little.
Well, we have one forum member that is very excited about it. His name is Gecko. He's wanted this for a while. I haven't tried it yet. Has anyone tried it?
No,
I haven't used it since Winmo.
When the rumor was that they were going to stop supporting anybody after Rim bought them, I decided it was time to look elsewhere, so I didn't even worry about it when it comes out. But from what I'm hearing, I might have to check it out.
We need an open office.
Yes. Yes. Because I have to use the full web browser and try to use Google Docs for my Android phone, and that's a terrible experience.
Why don't they just open up the stupid mobile version? I don't understand why they can't let WebKit browsers do it. It's ridiculous.
Yep. Have to.
They will at some point. We'll wake up someday and they'll just have this amazing office suite.
So do you guys think this will be it for Docs2Go 3.0?
Yeah, probably.
No, I don't think so. I think they're too big in the corporate. You know, they've got too many customers. As long as RIM is fine with supporting other platforms, and they should be, you know, as it gets updated, we'll see it on Android, I think.
I want to move on to the future versions of Android that we have seen this week. Fandroid got I don't know. I haven't decided if it's real or not. It's a really blurry picture at first of what they were told was Gingerbread. And they had a lot of detail that, you know, you pretty much could predict will probably be in Gingerbread. And I'm not saying that, you know, that their post is untrue or that they were lied to or anything. I don't know. But a lot of what was written is kind of, you know, stuff you would expect to be in the next version and stuff that we've kind of seen coming. And then today they actually had video. You know, that same shot was obviously taken off video in the first place. And so today we saw it. And kind of the big news out of that was when you push the power button now, the screen does like a cool little blinking thing, like a TV blinking off. That was kind of cool. I like that.
Yeah.
Do you think, I don't know, what do you guys think? Real, not real? Let's just put it out there.
Well, I did a little bit of poking. I think I know how I could make the power button on Froyo play an animation. So.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And that's, I think. I'm not saying that it's fake, but it could be faked.
Yeah.
Chat room saying not real. I don't know. And this is no reflection on Fandroid, because I don't know.
No, definitely.
That's their thing.
If somebody had sent that to me, I'd do everything I could to let everybody else have a look at it as well, so.
Sure. And the chat room's mentioning that crazy Russian thing.
Yeah, we had a ball with that.
Moto comments. That's awesome. It's an HTC Touch Dual, you know, which is like 500 years old now. And they're like, look at this phone and look how it runs on the phone. And it's 400 megahertz. And in Russia, megahertz come to you. And I don't know. That's horrible. Sorry.
It's not Gingerbread. No, Gingerbread. So.
Yeah. In fact, somebody said it was ADW Launcher or Launcher Pro. I forget which.
Yeah, it could be. I don't know.
Some little thing you can do to it. Yeah, no, that was pretty funny, though. What do you guys think about this ice cream thing? So, was it Reuters? I forget who it was. No.
Forbes.
So, Forbes was talking to one of the chip makers who said, oh, yeah, by the way, we're looking at ice cream already. Honeycomb hasn't been announced yet. Gingerbread hasn't actually officially been announced yet. Ice cream? They can't do better than ice cream. I mean, I'm not sure I can come up with a better dessert than ice cream offhand, but
Jerry comes next. I'm a tasty treat. Edit.
Oh man, that is the line of the podcast right there.
I think it's very possible. Product managers think years in advance, and they have a specific set of features that they're planning. I think this is—it's quite possible they're thinking this far out.
It's a nickname.
Well, ice cream seems a little boring compared to some of the other ones, but so maybe the name's off. But I wouldn't be surprised if they're actually thinking that far out.
What are they going to call it? Does anybody Italian remember? Chocolate truffle?
There are so many desserts out there. Creme brulee.
Yeah, but it has to start with I.
Left creme brulee.
Oh, it does.
What are you going to get to come with I?
Yeah.
Just got onto that.
No. No. You didn't just. All right. I'm done.
Icy's not a real dessert. Icy is refreshing.
Ooh, Irish coffee. Yes.
Irish
coffee.
That's not a dessert. Stop.
It is if you make it right.
Yeah.
No, all right, not really.
There's not that many. Ice cream is pretty good. Ice gelato, stop it. Get out of here.
Chat room's losing it tonight. No, the chat room's no good. We're moving on.
Yeah. Italian.
All right, so we don't know. We'll see. We'll see.
Italian cookies is the only thing I can find.
Something with Italian, which is stupid. That's why they went with ice cream. Because it is really the best dessert out there. And I'm going to keep jumping in interrupt Phil. Because I've got these like really awkward 3-second pauses.
That's all right. I edit the podcast. So the MyTouch 4G ROM leaked out over the past week, and Jerry actually started hacking into the thing. I think you were among the first, Jerry. Good job.
Hey, I try. I do what I can.
So the first thing you found in that was a cool little video, actually.
Yeah, my sideways video. The best thing that came out of that is Phil taught me how to turn videos the right way. So yay! But yeah, that was
a ballet class. Sorry.
That was a really cool thing to have, you know, in the ROM. You know, I guess it looks like a T-Mobile commercial for the phone built into the ROM. Kind of cool. It was neat to see how T-Mobile, you know, what they're pimping out as its best features. We might not agree, but it was nice to look at.
And then Evil, I'm sorry, I'm not quite sure how to pronounce his name. Would it be Evil D? At XDA, got it ported onto the Nexus One, and right about the time I was going to bed the other night, he released it. So Jerry and I sat up late playing with this thing. It's pretty darn cool. I don't really remember the MyTouch 3G Slide. I didn't use it for very long. Jerry, I mean, does it look and feel pretty similar as far as you can tell?
Yeah, it's a more polished. It's the next generation of the software from the Slide.
Okay. So if you have a Nexus One, I highly recommend you go play with it. They did a really good job with it, and I haven't looked to see if they released a new version today. They were already one version ahead, even after I did the video of it. So that's worth playing with. It's interesting. It's, you know, it's not Sense. I think I prefer Sense better. But it's nice to see something different. T-Mobile G2 has been overclocked. It's up to like 5 gigahertz now, I think.
just waiting for Marty and Doc. That's amazing.
Man, every like 6 hours, another version of that story comes out. It's up to 1.4 gigahertz.
1.21 gigawatts.
88 miles per hour. But that's good. It's good to see the G2 just getting tweaked to hell. Now, if we could only, you know, just properly root the thing, I'm just saying. Samsung today.
Back up. Yes. I got to complain. Yes. Every time I hear G2, I get a chance to complain. That's the rules. T-Mobile, HTC, whoever you are. Please unlock that phone for us. Pretty please. That's all. That's all I have to say. Just unlock it and leave us alone.
That's not bad then.
If you get to chime in on that, I get to chime in on the next story.
Samsung.
Yes.
Samsung. And I think it was pretty much Samsung UK or Samsung Europe said, hey, you know, the Galaxy S Froyo update that kind of got posted earlier in the week or late last week, we had to pull it. It's coming either really late October, early November, they said early November, and then it'll come to carriers a little while after that. I'm pretty sure they meant European carriers. Engadget, I think, wrote it up differently and kind of thought it meant everybody. We'll see. I don't know. Yes, Corey, go ahead.
Well, that's where I'm fuzzy. I'm curious if that is just for European operators or if that is for us too, because I really, really want it. And I don't know why. I just do. I love updates.
You need a Nexus One that you can. Oh, hey, I might update mine right now. Actually,
I go into AppBrain like 3 times a day, and I check for updates. I love them.
I'm gonna I'm gonna load a new CyanogenMod mod nightly just during the podcast. How about that? Because I can.
Well, I feel for Corey because the Galaxy S phones. A lot of people have, you know, various issues that they want to complain about. I've played with them. They're fast, sweet little phones that need Froyo so they can use all those apps in the market.
Yeah, you know, they really
that
do.
That sucks.
I kind of knew this going into it. I mean, Samsung, love them or hate them, they don't have a very good history with updates. So,
well, you know, and I'm sure Samsung is going to do this as fast as they can. I really don't think they're going to drag it on a year like they did for the moment. And they can't. They've got too many people that spent a lot of money, and they've got too many new Samsung customers that they now have a chance to impress. So I'm certain they're doing it as fast as they can. It just to us, it seems like it's not fast enough.
Yeah. And honestly, the GPS issues are just they're so bad. I just want them to fix that. If nothing else, I wish they just put out a patch for that one thing.
Yeah.
But
are they really that bad? I mean, I hear lots of stories, but your opinion, they are that bad?
So I travel for work constantly, and it's really funny because there's all these different recommendations people have, download this app or download this other app, go into the phone settings and hack. I mean, there's so many, and it seems like it's very, like, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I think there's definitely some sort of driver issue that they need to address. And what bothers me is it's such a big issue. You'd think that if they knew what was wrong, they would just release an over-the-air update and get it fixed and not wait for Froyo. I'm just really surprised that they haven't addressed it yet. I travel all the time when I land. It's mm-hmm. one of the first things I do when I get in my car, my rental car, is fire up the GPS. It can take 5, 10, 15. I could be all the way to my hotel by the time it finds really a lock. Yeah.
When it finds it, does it hold, and does the GPS work well?
Yeah, it works. Once it gets a lock, it works fine. There's nothing wrong with it as far as it being off or anything like that.
Yeah, so that it's got to be software.
Yeah. Thinking it has to be some sort of driver issue, and supposedly it's fixed in Froyo, but it just seems like the kind of thing, it's like if they know it's wrong and they have it fixed, they wouldn't wait for Froyo. They just push it out in an over-the-air update, and that's what makes me nervous and think, oh, this could be a hardware issue instead of a software issue, but who knows?
Hashtag fix it.
Yeah, fix it. My little rant about GPS, sorry.
No, I think that's a good one. See what else. Motorola Click is getting an Android 2.1 update soon. It's being tested now. If you want, you can go hop on the Moto forums and try to get in on that. We've got a link in the show notes.
If you do get in on it and want to share whatever you get with the people who weren't able to get in on it, find somebody. It's probably not that hard. So if you want to contribute, here's your chance, because a lot of people want in and won't be able to get in.
I think that's going to do it. You guys want to do some voicemails and emails?
Always.
Yep.
Always.
Always.
Cool. Let's.
Always and forever.
Wow. All right. Sorry, I'm just hooking everything up. And all right, let's do some voicemails, and we will start with Ken.
My name is Ken. I'm from East Providence, Rhode Island. I'm rocking a Epic 4G from Sprint. I'm loving it so far, but the only problem I'm having is that I'm speaking with an Exchange 2007 server, and my contacts and email work beautifully, but my calendar doesn't. I posted a message on the forums, but nobody seems to know what's happening, but for some reason my calendar just doesn't sync. Even though it's telling me that it does, I've tried every option available, and it just doesn't work. So I'm hoping that either you guys or somebody in the chat room could kind of help me out with this. I switched from an Evo to this, and unfortunately I'm going to have to go back if this doesn't get fixed. So any help would be appreciated. I love the podcast. You guys rock. Chat room rocks. And hope to get an answer. All right. Thanks a lot.
Did he say Exchange?
Yeah, Exchange calendar.
Yes, he did. So my recommendation is, and I say this to everyone that has any sort of Exchange issue or email issue, is go download Touchdown from the market. It seems to solve all the problems that the native mail clients have when it comes to syncing with Exchange. It makes things much easier. It's worth the money. I know it's expensive, but it wipes away all your problems. Touchdown.
If you need Exchange, it's certainly worth $20.
Yeah. And if you're not sure about it, they have a 30-day demo that you can use. It does disable your ability to turn off the tagline signature that they insert. But I guarantee that app has saved more people from the problems. I don't know why the standard email applications don't. It seems like none of them work properly. So usually Touchdown is the thing to do.
Can't argue with that. All right, here comes Hunter.
Hey, guys, what's up? This is Hunter calling from Central Connecticut using an original droid, the OG. Got a quick question for you and a couple of observations. Question, when I have my droid tethered to my netbook via PDA.net, the app, download speeds are pretty darn good, almost as fast as a regular Wi-Fi network. When I'm trying to surf the web with just the standalone Android browser, download speeds for a website such as the Android Central site is way slower, probably 15 seconds to maybe 5 seconds when it's tethered. What gives? How come the difference, and what can I do to avoid that? Secondly, with the podcast last week, you guys made reference to a caller who is reporting that retail outlets and the tech support are still recommending app killers for Froyo Encrypt phones. And while it's cool that you guys diss the app killers, you don't really make reference to the fact that a lot of times the app killers solve the problems that the techs are trying to fix, such as lag times with graphics, unnecessary battery drains, so on and so forth. So if you're going to diss the app killers, you got to come up with other solutions for all of us Android lovers. And lastly, you should think about doing the podcast on Wednesday nights. I can't be near my computer on Thursday nights, and I'd love to experience the podcast live and via the forum. So that's it. Keep up the good work. I enjoy the show. Take care.
I'm putting my mic on mute.
I'm putting my lips on the bottle.
Actually, that reminds me of a short discussion I had with somebody on Twitter earlier this week who was talking about battery life. It sounded like they run a Sprint store somewhere. And, well, you know, what do you recommend we tell customers? You know, can they extend their battery life if they're not going to use task killers? Here's what I say. Use the battery. Drain the battery. That's what it's there for. The object of the game is not to see who has the most battery at the end of the day. It's to use your phone as best you can. Don't worry about that. That's my answer to that.
Well, and you know, Android, it's like smartphones are like fast cars, right? So they have all these new features, and we're web browsing, we're doing email, we're doing all these different things on them. Battery technology has not evolved. So the more we do on these phones, the more energy we're going to use, and it's going to seem like they have terrible battery life when, in fact, we're just doing all sorts of things on these phones. They have beautiful screens, and they suck up battery life. And until batteries improve in technology, it's just going to be one of the things we're going to have to deal with. So hopefully you're near an outlet throughout the day, and you can just plug it in and keep it charged. That's my
opinion. And if you're not, revel in the fact that you're not an iPhone and you can swap batteries. Conveniently sold the Android Central Store.
Well, that's a good point. That's a very good point,
actually. Yeah, when I travel, I have 2 and 3 batteries with me because, you know what? I want to use this phone. I want to use this phone. I don't want to use the phone that, you know, sucks but, you know, works all day. I want to use this phone.
Yeah.
And
I didn't say which phone.
I want to touch one point there. What do you tell the techs how to solve, you know, problems? Don't use the task killer. Using a task killer to kill an app that's draining your battery too much or making lag doesn't solve any problems. Doesn't solve anything because that's not a solution. The solution is to find out why something is lagging your phone or killing your battery. Don't use it anymore. 1 star in the market. In the comments, this drained my battery very badly. Motorola Droid. Go. Enough comments like that, the developer will see why he might be draining batteries and fix it.
Before you go that far, I would recommend going to the developer's website. And
oh, yes.
The developer's
website. You know, I'm not trying to hunt down the developers or anything.
Right, right.
But, you know, you find the root to solve the problem. You don't just treat the symptom and try to convince the people that are paying for your services that you've solved anything.
There was that weird story that Fierce Wireless reported over the past week or so about the poorly coded IM app that almost brought T-Mobile's network to its knees. I think that was kind of overwritten a little bit, but it certainly sounds sexy. But, I mean, that's just, you know, another example of something that was coded poorly. It was pinging the hell out of T-Mobile's system, and T-Mobile you know, got a hold of the developer and was like, hey, we got to do something about this here.
And yeah, I don't want anybody to think I'm bashing the techs at Verizon or Sprint or anybody. No, they don't know what else to do except to tell you, well, you'll have to just kill off what's killing the battery or reboot. They don't know because they're not the one using your phone all day long to see what's happening. You know, they're trying their best as well. Just, I don't know how to treat this. This dependency on task killers is just is driving me crazy.
It's so, a crutch.
So there was another question in there about speeds. So I think that the reason why he's seeing a speed difference between tethering and using the standard browser is the rendering speed of the browser itself. So yes, you're going to get a little bit faster of an experience when you're tethering using your laptop than you would within the actual stock browser. I think there's going to be some improvements. We heard some things from Mozilla with Fennec coming up. Mm-hmm. They're going to be using hardware acceleration and things like that. So I think you're going to see a better experience with that. And also there's browsers like Dolphin. So we just have I have to put a little plug in here for our new Dolphin HD forum that we now have, if you haven't seen it yet. But I think there's other browsers, too, that you can experiment around with and also get faster speeds with.
Yeah, Opera said it's bringing hardware acceleration, too. So
I'm moving in. I got it wrong. I meant Opera. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
All right. Finally, let's do Javier.
Hey, guys. This is the Android Central Podcast. This is Javier calling from Miramar, Florida. I have an Evo in about after the last date. I rooted it with Unrevoked 3.21. I'm new to the whole rooting thing, so I just unrooted it because I wanted the wireless tether, and that's all I have on it. That's it. So I was wondering when the next update comes out for the Evo, over the update, if there's going to be any, what do I do? Is there an easy way to update, to get the over the update, or to apply it with a zip file or something like that, so I don't have to go back to the, you know, to stock? All right. Keep up the good work on the podcast and the website.
Anybody?
Yes. If you have rooted your phone, never accept an OTA upgrade. It's going to cause problems. Wait. Let the people who know how to work all that out. As long as you're rooted, in a day or two, there will be something you can use to update your phone. Just like it is now, just rooted, just Javier's tether, but on the newest software.
Don't. Those are the longest days of your life.
Oh, yeah, but that's the drawback of rooting. You can't just jump on it because then you might have your bricked Evo going back to Sprint.
Jerry, is there still a one-click unroot available for the Evo?
I think it depends on how you rooted it. I mean, now we've got so many different methods out. We've got NAND unlocked and Flash Engineering H boots. Depends on how you rooted it. If you know enough to realize, yes, this is what I did, this is how I can undo it, then go for it. But if you have any question, don't do anything.
So when I hear an update is coming out, I go totally nuts, and I'm in there in my settings, and I'm checking for updates every 5 minutes. I mean, I love updates. I just can't. I mean, it's like I'm crazy about them. And clearly the forums are the same way, right? Because whenever we have an update that's coming out, we start just people go crazy. When is it coming? I'm checking every file. Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? It's fun. A lot of fun.
Let's do a couple emails, shall we, and wrap it up. Who wants to start? Mickey?
All right. Timothy writes, I'm a college student who currently owns a Palm Life Drive PDA with a 3.9-inch VGA screen. That's 320 by 480. Palm OS 5.4 SD card slot and a 4 gig micro drive for storage. I'd keep using the device if it were not for two reasons. Number one, it does not sync with my desktop anymore. And number two, my bank account or my bank only allows account access via Android and the iOS. I'm looking at replacing this device with something new, but on my current budget, I can't afford to get a cell phone with a data plan. Plus, I'm quite happy with my current cell service. Buying an unlocked Android phone and just not using it as a phone is quite tempting, but way too expensive. With a budget of just $250, what is the best Android-based PDA either currently on the market or planned to be on the market by the end of the year? And why should I buy it over an iPod Touch 4? Or should I just wait until after CES to see what comes out? Well, I don't think Timothy's going to find anything that's going to come out after CES that's going to be cheaper. That's for sure. But I don't know. I think your best bet is to hop on eBay, hop on Craigslist, and see if you can find something that's out there that you can, you know, maybe use without a SIM card in it. But I don't know. Do you guys have something specific that you'd recommend?
$250. I would hit.
I'll sell you my Evo for that.
I would hit eBay and look for an original Droid. If you're only going to use it as a PDA, that would be perfect. And I'll bet you can get it for under $250 if you look hard enough.
I'll sell you my Droid for $250. $249. $99. $248. $247. Okay.
And people in the chat room are saying Arcos 32. Jury's still out. I don't know anybody that has one. I wouldn't spend my $250 without, you know, at least a few people saying, hey, this is a great product. Not when that
Arcos is like, Arcos is like the line that everybody loves, but nobody seems to have.
Right.
It's really weird.
Right.
So you guys think PDA only type devices are dead? So do you think there will be a Google type like the iPod Touch 4?
Nope.
No.
I can get a Motorola Defy for $300. You know, and then if I want, I can put it on T-Mobile service or, you know, put a SIM card, get 2G anywhere. Why would Google be pushing anybody to try to, you know, make small PDA devices when there are so many cheap phones that would do it?
Dan writes, is there an unzip app that works to unzip a Gmail attachment or at least allows one to download a zip file from a Gmail attachment to the SD card? I have a Droid 2 running Android 2.2.
So the application he wants is attachment to SD. It does not open the zip file, but it will save the Gmail attachments to your SD card. And then you can use like Astro or some other sort of file manager to open it up.
Yep.
Bingo. Who's next?
I'll go next. Michael writes, I was wondering why my phone needs to support my network 3G, but the Edge network seems like it works on all the GSM phones. Why not 3G? Like the iPhone, unlocked, it can't use T-Mobile, but it can use their 2G. Why? I'm going to hand that over to Mickey.
Do it, Mickey.
Okay, well, here's the reality. The network that you're not able to use is T-Mobile. Any iPhone, any Android phone that's out there right now, unless it's on T-Mobile, is running on the 850 and 1900 megahertz bands for 3G here in North America and 2100 megahertz internationally. The kind of wild card in this whole thing is T-Mobile and their 1700 megahertz 3G network. And there's no reason for a carrier to sell a phone that has another carrier's frequency on it that's the competing carrier here in the U.S. only because it's on a different frequency. There's no reason for them to put it in there. The Nokia N8 is one of the devices right now, one of the sole devices that's got the pentaband HSPA in it, which has got 850, 1700, 1900, and 2100 megahertz in it as well. So they've got all the bands in it, which is actually kind of cool. But there's no reason for a carrier like AT&T to put in T-Mobile's 3G service. On the flip side, if you've got a T-Mobile device, it likely will have, well, depends on the device, but like if you look at the, I can't even remember, what's the Galaxy device on T-Mobile? What's the name of it?
Vibrant.
Vibrant. There, I was going to say the variant. The Vibrant. The Vibrant does actually function on the 1900 megahertz band on 3G so that it can roam in the rest of North America. So you can take it to Canada and roam on Rogers, or you can go down to Mexico and roam down there. But it doesn't have 850 in it because there's no need for that, because the only reason that they would put that in there is so that it could roam on AT&T, but they don't want you to roam on AT&T. They want you to use their network. The reason why it works on Edge is because Edge service around the world is on four different bands, the 800, 900, 1800, 1900. And so that's become the standard quad band Edge for how they create these devices. They put all four bands, and that's kind of the point of GSM, is that it's a world standard. And 3G is standardized internationally on 2100 megahertz. We're just kind of the oddballs here in North America.
Ooh. What I'd say about that.
So I guess the question as to why, because the carrier doesn't want you to not buy a device from them. They want you to buy a device, from the carrier, sign up with a contract and use it on their service. They don't want you bringing a device from somebody else. And so they'll, this is just kind of how it works in the U.S. T-Mobile standardized their 3G on 1700.
Here's a little secret for everybody. 99.9% of the time when you ask us why somebody does something, the answer is money. I hate to tell you.
That's true.
Yeah.
Of course it is. These are businesses.
Yeah. Colin writes, love the podcast. My question is, do you have any information whether the Motorola Droid X will ever be released as a GSM World and Canadian variant like the Milestone for the Droid? Even the Milestone 2 has already been announced. Also, what about the Desire HD? Way back in June when they announced the Droid X, that was one of the first questions that was asked, and they said, no, we have no plans on doing that yet. So, Desire HD, we'll probably see some sort of variant here, maybe.
You could buy it through an importer, and if you use AT&T, it works just fine. I've been thinking about it.
But you won't get 3G. For the reasons we just talked about.
Yep.
All right, Jerry, you're up.
Jay writes, I have an Evo 4G that has a screen discoloration issue and plan on having my phone replaced. My question is, when I eventually have my phone replaced and rooted, will I be able to NAND restore my image from my old Evo, or will I have to start over? Maybe. Give it a try. Be ready to hook back up to your computer through ADB in case it loops. Depends on your screen. There's a good chance that Nandroids from one version of the screen are not going to work on devices with the other version. If they're the same screen, it'll work just fine. Just don't rename the file.
It's really weird that, and you're talking about the different hardware versions of the mm-hmm. screens. It's really weird that something that small can affect so much.
Yep, and it's because the drivers are so they're trying to drive so much performance without using a lot of processing power. So everything is really tweaked.
Hmm. All right, last one. Who's up?
I'll take this one. So Steven writes, when I dumped my BlackBerry Storm over a year and a half ago, I got a Droid, and now I'm rocking an Incredible. By the time you read this, I'll have an X. Sounds like me, actually. The one thing I miss about my BlackBerry days is the ability to make folders in the app screen drawer and put apps into them. I had one folder for utilities like Speedtest, Snowlock, etc., one for games, one for media. This made finding apps much easier than scrolling down an endless page. Is there any way to do this on an Android phone? Is there an app for that? Unfortunately, there isn't much you can do for the app drawer unless you install a home screen replacement like Launcher Pro. But even Launcher Pro only allows you to hide apps in the app drawer. To quickly access applications through folders, you need to do that through one of your home screens by adding a folder widget to the home screen itself by pressing down and then scrolling down to folders, and then you can create a new folder and put your apps in there. But there isn't anything you can really do that I know of. Maybe some of you other guys do, but I know of that can allow you to modify the app drawers so you can put folders in them.
Well, ADW does things a little differently. It doesn't put the folders in, but it allows you to create a group. I can have a group that says games, and I can put all my, my games in that group and hide everything else. And I can make another, that's utilities or whatever. And then I can use arrow buttons on the launcher while the app drawer is open and just jump between them from side to side, which is better than scrolling through the long list, but it's still not a real good solution.
Well, there you go. That's definitely a solution then for him.
Yeah, that's something new. That's
do that too.
Yep. Yeah.
Cool.
That's it, I think. Somebody else take a fork in it. I don't want to tonight.
It's done.
Lady's done it.
There you go.
Lady's first.
Weak. All right, Mickey, wrap it up.
If you'd like to get in touch with us, like Timothy, Dan, Michael, Colin, Jay, and Steven, you can send us an email to podcast@androidcentral.com. If you want to be like Hunter, Javier, and Ken, send us a voicemail, 888-468-6158, and type in extension 222. You can also talk to us all on Twitter. The site is @AndroidCentral. Phil is @PhilNickinson. I am @TCPJ_Mickey. Jerry is @GBHIL. And Corey is @CSTREATER. The entire site and the show brought to you by the Android Central Store, found at store.androidcentral.com. You can also place your order at 888-468-6158.
That's it. Mickey, Corey, Jerry, thank you. Chat room, thank you guys. Everybody listening at home at a later date, thank you. I love you guys. I love you all. I love you, man. See you next week.
Bye.
Adios.